it spiritual.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's pick up at verse, you said 27. Let's pick up 27 and see if we can make some verses, make a few verses here. We found out week before last, what about Christ has to reign is the resurrection, the order of resurrection, and how all things center around the resurrection. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians. In verse 27, he says, "For he hath put all things under his feet." That's God putting all things under Christ's feet. "But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." That is, the Son is still subordinate to the Father. The Son is just carrying out the will of the Father. I think we left off. As a matter of fact, I make a correction. I think the last time we talked about it, and I drew a triangle, and I said, "Do you know what that is?" And it was a trilateral. It was an equilateral triangle. I thought about that when I was on the way home. I said, "That's not a trilateral triangle. It's an equilateral triangle, which every angle is a triangle in itself, but it's one triangle with equal angles." Right, equi, lateral. So that's like the Trinity, where you, how can the Son be subordinate and yet be the Father? And how can the Father, who says that all things created, he created all things, and then he says the Son created them? And then you have the Holy Spirit. Is how can he do all the things that you attribute to the Father and to the Son, and yet he doesn't glorify himself, he glorifies the Son. And yet he's equal. We can't explain that, right? We can try to explain that, but we don't know.
It's a mystery.
When he says that the Lord our God is one, and yet his name is Elohim, which is a plural of gods. People who have sharper minds than us have tried this.
And failed.
Well, right.
They come up with a little theory, but not
nothing that's satisfactory.
No, because they don't have God's mind.
They don't have, right. And we go by faith.
Yeah. Well, is it that we think and understand in three dimensions, and God is outside three dimensions? And therefore, we don't have the ability, because we're limited by, for lack of a better way of saying it, within a three-dimensional understanding, capability of understanding. Sort of like an ant can't understand, look up at us and understand us, because it's a limited capacity.
He's working with an ant mentality, right?
Right. And well, I mean, we understand things on a three-dimensional plane, but the scripture describes God, you know, who can know the height and the depth and the breadth and the width. There's four dimensions right there, and that's outside of our human capacity.
And that's one of the things that we, when Paul talks about that, we rejoice in hope. Oh, well, this is what this centered around the resurrection is. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The expectation, not hope like I hope I make it, but the glory of the hope, the expectation of seeing the glory of God. You know, when Moses, when they came through and he's like, "Show me thy glory." Or when Jesus was on the mountain, he showed them a glimpse of his glory. That's not him. Where, you know, Paul says that he's dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Or he says no man has seen God at any time. Well, I think one day, all those questions, you're like, wow. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. You remember when they were traveling, they wanted to see Oz? And when they get there and you know, they go through that long walk, and he's like thundering and lightnings and, "Well, don't come here." You know, and you see the visage of him, the little smoky. And then when they finally get behind the curtain, it's just some little guy in the chair,
right,
you know, with smoke and mirrors.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not saying that's how. I'm just when we'll see God, those questions will be answered. I don't think it'll be anything like that. But they wanted to see who he was. They were disappointed, and I don't think we'll be disappointed.
No.
I don't think we'll be disappointed at all. So he says, for he must put all things under his feet, and when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. We know those all things. We discussed a little bit about that. The positions of in heaven and earth, all those governmental positions. And that's the reason that he is resurrected. When he says all power is in his hands, and when he said in Revelation that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of God and his Christ. Well, it's not just limited to this world. We saw those things that, you know what, things in heaven, in earth. That's everything. That's all things would be in his jurisdiction. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? All in all. We see that when the Son finally executes his plan, then there's what? What's there left to do? It's all done, and he delivers the kingdom back to the Father, that God takes his rightful position as the Most High God, who will be then the what?
Who
God will take his position as the Most High God, who will be the possessor of heaven and earth. All those things will be back in his jurisdiction, under him. In his power,
and rightful place.
In his rightful place, in his authority, and under his rule.
Yeah.
And then, who is it that's really ruling, though?
Christ.
Y'all said that like
Lord's Christ.
Like Christ, right? I mean,
the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't want to mix you up, but when he returns it back to God the Father, and then he gives him, when he talks about giving the Lord a name that's above every name, what name is that? What name could it be? You take a guess at it?
Lord Jesus.
Oh, well, right. And I say, again, when I play on the name, when you say name, it just doesn't, not just the name, but it's the authority behind it. It's always connected with authority behind it. So when he gives him the name, like in the Acts where it says, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know.
Who are you?
And he's not saying, I know Paul's name. Well, I know Jesus' name. He says, I know the authority that Paul has, and I know the authority that Jesus has. But what authority do you have? So when he says, I give him a name above every name, then, and he says that at the name of Jesus, that's for the authority. Every knee shall bow. And now he says Jesus, but we kind of talked about that. We know that Jesus is just a transliteration of Joshua, which is a contraction, really, of Jehovah Savior, which takes you all the way back to what? God the Father. I know. Okay, let's 29. He says, well, back to 28. He says, when he shall have subdued unto him, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then the Son also himself, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. One of those things like we just talked about, we can't understand that, is what happens to the Son. He doesn't cease to exist. Because in Philippians, he says that Jesus Christ, who being what?
In the form
of God. Okay. So, if he already existed in the form of God, he's the eternal Son, isn't he? So all he does is go back to his rightful position. This is kind of, I don't want to get sidetracked on that too much, but that's the only way I think about it, is I think about this in a man's sense, where you take a God the Father, who's just a spirit, where, like in the movies, where all of a sudden you see a outgrowth of him that comes out as a man. You know, just take this big, maybe this will, I'll try to, not, I said I wasn't going to get bogged down on this, but it looks like I am. Where just take this glory here, this little shape here is God the Father. And he said the Son, who was in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So you got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son in here, right? All these. And you just get some of this just oozes out here. And he becomes what? God the Son.
God incarnate.
It's still from here. And he takes on the image. Right. We talked a little bit about that. And he walks around and he puts on, all he does is puts on what?
Flesh suit.
A flesh suit. So like I said, you know what? If I'm going to talk to the ants, I have to put on an ant suit.
A body thou hast prepared for me.
So he comes like in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Everything he, if I have to relate to a man, I have to, if I'm going to relate to a man, I have to be in the likeness.
Have all the attributes.
I have to have all that. So they see him and they say, there, that's Joseph, son, right? But that holy thing that's in him, so he goes through, he does everything that he has to do, subduing. Nobody knows he's, when he's on earth, well, I don't say nobody, but when he's on earth, he's in this, working out a plan of reconciliation and subjugation. Subjugation. He's working that all out. And when it's done, when the Son, when he reigns, right, then he goes, you know what? He just goes back to what?
He folds us back in.
That's what it says.
Yeah. The other thing that I find so interesting is he also said the Spirit couldn't come
until
he left. That's interesting.
Isn't it? And at the same time, they saw the Spirit descending on him in a right. bodily form also.
In the voice of the Father. Yeah.
Okay, that's enough of that. 29. He says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, this is not some weird, to me, this is my understanding, it's not some weird procedure that people are baptized for dead people.
Like the Mormons.
You know, you can take those things out. And the whole thing rises or falls with your understanding of, very simple, what baptism means. This is, for us, This is elementary stuff for us. We don't even get bogged down on things like that. When Paul said, when he's using that, he says, why are we baptized for the dead if the dead rise not? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, why are we identifying ourselves with
a dead man?
If the dead rise not, and if it all stops there at the grave, he says, why are we, not just when he says, are we identifying him?
Risking their lives and everything. It's like they say that the 12, you'd have to believe that if they knew that this was a hoax, that they were willing to die for what they knew was a lie.
Right.
Yeah. And who's going to do that?
That's sticking with it. that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, that's, if it's a lie, then they know that the dead aren't going to rise. You know.
Right. And that's what, but everything they bank on the resurrection. When they talk, said we thought it was him. Well, it is him. And when he's resurrected, you notice after he resurrected how bold, the boldness they have. And they said, I thought we told you not to speak in this man's name. And they, when the people got together, the leadership got together, and they said, these men are speaking with boldness, he says, and they took knowledge. They said that they had been with Jesus. They knew he was up, so it gave them great boldness. But before that, they all doubted. Yeah. He said, now, he says, when the man at the gate, he says, give me some money. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but as such as I have, that I give to thee in the name of Jesus. He said, rise and walk. And he says, why you look upon us as by our holiness that we have made this man well? He said, it's through him. We are identifying with him. With the Savior now. That's how we can do this. And Paul says, if the dead rise not all, he says, why are we baptized for the dead? When those people were baptized, they were at John. Look at John chapter 1. And John chapter, since we're in John, let's see. I believe it's chapter 10. John chapter 1, verse 19. And we've read this. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him and said, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Why are they asking him that?
Because they want to know who his authority is.
They want to know what his authority is. And in other words, who should we, when he's saying that, he said, identify yourself. Yeah. Who are you? What authority do we have? We want to know, how is it that you do these things? If you're not the Christ or Elijah or that prophet, they knew about those men. Okay, look at verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they went, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye what?
Know not.
He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When he says, Behold, what is that a sign for? A word for?
Announcement.
Look. What?
Announcement.
Announcement?
Give me your attention?
Yeah. What else?
Hark.
A revealing?
Yeah, all that. You got the right idea. He's doing what?
Announcing. Identifying.
He's IDing who?
The Messiah.
And keep that in mind. He says, Behold, they said, You want to know what I'm doing? You don't know who I am? You don't know what this is all about? And they wait, and the next day he said, There he is, right there. Here he comes right now. Who's coming?
The King, the Messiah,
the Lamb of God, the Lamb
that taketh away the sin of the world.
She said, the Lamb of God. What does that mean? God's provision. Here he comes. Should be any more questions, should it? We've been waiting for that. Here he is. Okay. But watch what John says. He says, verse, he said 30. Huh? He said, John answered, he says, I got water. This is the baptism. Well, we can find out what it is. He says, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Verse 30, he said, when he sees him coming, he said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. Did you get that? He says, the reason my whole baptism is I'm baptizing you so that I can identify you with who? With him. With the Lamb of God. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
So those who want what God has in the Lamb, what would they do?
Justify God.
They would be, what verse is that?
It's either John. It's either John 7 or maybe it's Luke.
I think it's in John. The verse she just said, they.
Well, the Sadducees and the Pharisees didn't.
That's what the verse.
It's in Luke, the one I was thinking of.
Okay, that's what we want.
It's Luke 7.
Luke 7, okay.
29:30.
Luke 7. Okay, let's see. 29:30?
Mm-hmm.
He says, start at verse 27. He said, this is he... Luke 7:27. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. How do you justify God?
Declare him.
By being baptized.
By being baptized with the baptism of John. And when he says justify God, you're telling God that what you say, I believe. What you say about him, I believe. But, he says, but, verse 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. What's the counsel of God for those people? Huh?
Cut off.
Hold on. He said they rejected the counsel of God. Not C-O-N-U-C-I-L. C-O-N. The counsel of God. If you come to me for counseling, what am I going to do? If you come to me for counseling, teach you what? What do you go to the counseling for?
Learn whatever it is you want to learn.
Whatever you want to learn. It usually is for what?
Your edification.
For your benefit. That's for your benefit, right? That's why he said they rejected the counsel of God, what? Against themselves. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't hurt God. Mm-hmm. He said, this is your problem.
Your loss.
This is your loss, yes. So when they come, listen, when they come to God, he says, I have some things that I would like to do that's beneficial for you, for the nation. There's some things that I'd like to do for you. And no, Jesus said, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long would I would love to what? But you would not. You rejected. And he says there's some things he wants to do. He said, and but it all you have to believe what? In the counselor. Yeah. Well, how do we do that? Well, first thing is you identify yourself, put yourself in the category of those who are looking for the counseling. So we have to do what? You have to do what? You have to be baptized. That puts you in line. That tells me that you know what?
Identifying yourself.
You're identifying yourself with him. If you don't think you need counseling, you don't what? If you don't think you need the counselor, you don't what? If you don't think you need help, you don't what? If you don't think you need redemption, you don't what? If you don't think you have sin, you don't.
Yeah.
If you think you're right, if you think you're righteous, you don't do those. Yeah. You don't get baptized. So the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God, being not baptized of John.
But
we don't need it.
Later, Christ got baptized not only as an example of life, but because that was part of the law, the priestly requirement.
That's back to the aunt. She says he got baptized. Jenny said he got baptized as an example. No, not quite. Not quite. That's what we say. When he got, we're right here. Look at verse.
That he might be made manifest to Israel.
That's where we were just there. Luke or John. That was John, wasn't it? John chapter 3 again.
Verse 31.
All right, you got that, and I see we won't get too far. And also, go back to what we say. John 1:31. and Luke drop that. Well, John 1. He says this, verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, who sent him to baptize with water?
God
the Father. And God the Father told John the Baptist, when thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is what? I love that. Ed, you remember, you taught this a while back, where he said the very fact that John said, I'm baptized with water, shows you what? There was something better coming. And he said, I'm baptizing with water. He said, my identification only goes so far to him. But when he comes, he'll identify you with the rest of the purpose. Either way, those who don't want the counseling, you get a different baptism, different identification. Those who do want it, you get a different identification. And, you know, it's kind of like, let's make a deal. So you want door number one or door number two? And they sit there and they think, let's see. Door number one. You know what Jesus Christ said in John, I think it's John 10, he said, I am. Well, I am the door.
I am the door, yeah.
Door number one. The Pharisees and the lawyers, they said, we want door number two. They thought they can come in another way.
Some abode in law.
He said, not quite.
Yeah, it was the door that put them in charge.
That kept the right.
I have a question. Just listen to you talk. So when in Mark 16, when the Lord sends the 12 out, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He was in that verse speaking of water baptism, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what all those commissions are connected together. When he says, he shall baptize you, you get this.
Right.
He says, you know what? When Paul's talking in Acts 19, he says, they were baptized with the baptism of John. He says, and John truly did baptize, saying that they should believe on him.
So water baptism was the prerequisite, and then the others would fall in line once they had identified themselves.
It's just a series of identifications. It's, well, you start with me. You don't go to the next step until you get to this step.
So that's why Peter and those that believed that were with him in Cornelius' house were so astonished, because Cornelius had not been baptized, and he started with the next gift.
He says, how could this man skip a stage? And then when he gets through, he says, wait a minute.
Might as well go back and do the first part, because he's already moved off down.
I know this is important.
Yeah.
He says, okay, well, who?
Who could forbid?
You, yeah.
Forbid what?
Can't say he didn't get the next step, because he's got the next step.
Yeah.
But, well, okay, do this anyway.
John told him the Lord didn't baptize with water, so I mean, with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That must be what happened right here, because we didn't get the water done, and they're baptized with the Holy Ghost. That must be the Lord.
No, that's like this. That's like a kid who is so smart. He goes to Harvard and gets his degree.
He's got no
and you
concept.
Say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, you need to go back to elementary and kindergarten and grade school and middle school and college or at junior college. And he said, well, wait a minute. For what?
I've got a 4.0 average.
He says, I've skipped all those steps. I'm through. Why do I need to go back and do this? Well, because that's the sequence. Not if you already got it.
Right.
It's just technicality.
It was, you know what? That's what it's.
In Peter's
now,
mind, it was just, yeah.
But watch this, though. This is.
Cross every T and dot every I.
Just to.
He was thorough.
For Jenny's question, she said it was an example. And you know what? This we don't. Today we'll say we get baptized as an example because Jesus did it.
Right.
Right. Which is, that's not the case.
Because they could find no fault.
Yeah, that was the other part of his requirement for the priesthood.
Well, didn't he have to be identified with. Well, never
mind. Yeah, Matt. Yeah, what's that?
Well, he came as a prophet, a priest, and a king. And the priest, I mean, you got the sacrifice, but I would assume he would have to be washed just like to okay. identify himself with the humanity and priesthood. And
right. Look at that. Matthew chapter 3. What did you say in that?
You think that's where
Jesus
was?
All right. Matthew chapter 3. And John chapter 4. Matthew 3, 1st, John 4. And as a matter of fact, go back to, when you go to 3, go back to verse 10. He says, and now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John, I indeed baptize you with water unto what?
Change of mind.
About what?
About the what they had not been doing under the law covenant.
They know that everything they had went away from God in everything they were doing.
They've been unfaithful to the covenant.
Unfaithful to the covenant. Very unfaithful. And he says, the water is, he said, is a baptism unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's, you either get empowered or you
uprooted and burned.
Right. He says, you know what, this is how we read it. You get empowered or you get a second empowering. That's how we say it. The fire is a second empowering.
Well, you keep saying or.
Go ahead.
And it says it baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and.
That's fire. Why. That's why they say that.
But wait a minute. But I take that to be, you know, the Holy Spirit, like what happened at Pentecost, or like what's going to happen in the tribulation when then they'll be empowered, those that are trusting and following the Lord, but they're still going to go through the purging of the tribulation. It's just they'll come out unscathed if they put their faith and trust in the Lord.
Okay, let's just keep reading.
Okay.
Yeah, verse 12.
He says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. Where is the garner? This is
kingdom.
Okay. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Right there in that verse, you have those in the garner, they'll have the Holy Spirit. Those with that's burning up as a chaff, that's the fire.
So then I understand that they're going to be, okay, so if he's purging his floor, he's going to gather those up that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But what about, but even so, even those that are part of that little flock, he's not going to gather them into the kingdom until the end. They still have to endure the iniquity. I mean, he even talks about it in Leviticus.
Sure. It's not the same fire, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different. Different stages.
Okay.
He's coming. He's just being manifest now. He's not even talking about the tribulation now. They don't know anything except step one. This is a identification now. He says, water, but he's coming after me. He's got two more.
So in other words, this is basically another way of saying what's going to happen during his first coming and
there you
how it's going to end with his second coming.
Give him the clip notes.
That's right. That's why when he stands up in Luke, when he can read and stop,
right. Isaiah,
and he says, okay, now's the time for what?
Yeah.
For the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He said, if you would, I could be John. I could be Elijah. He said, if you would, he would be Elijah. But one day it will be Elijah. Yeah. See the connection there? He says, okay, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. You know, people say, if Jesus went 60 miles to be baptized, surely you can get baptized.
6 feet.
What's that?
You can go 6 feet.
You can go 6 feet, right. The Lord did that. He set the example for us to be baptized. Okay? He says, well, he was circumcised too.
But he was following the law.
They offered sacrifices too.
Right.
He kept the law too.
Yeah.
He met in the temple too.
He had a priesthood.
He all. Are you going to do all that too?
Ain't
well, we don't. They don't understand that. Here's what they don't understand. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, on whom I am well pleased. Now all these things is part of this. It's part of the identification.
Reconciliation.
Is right. See, not only is he telling you who to identify with, he's also putting on the ant suit.
So we can understand if
yeah.
Look, he can't skip that stage. All these things, he said, you know, last week we talked about the check marks. Mm-hmm. This is one. He can't skip it. And John says, wait a minute.
Because the new covenant hadn't started yet, so he has to follow the old.
He's got everything that God, this is the baptism, we just said, it's the baptism of what? It's the baptism of God. God said, John, you do this. Well, the son, he can't come and say, oh, I'll skip that stage. I don't need that. He says, John says, what are you coming here for? And he told me that you were the one. And he says, I am the one.
And he God said, identified him.
And God identified him. He says, but don't skip the steps, John.
I'm here to fulfill all righteousness.
He says, nah.
The rules,
I have to follow this. He says, suffer to be so now. For thus it become, hey, this is our job to fulfill the righteous requirements of God. And he says, okay, he says, now, not only do they need to know who I am, but I want them, I'm identifying myself as one of them. That's why he's called, that's why when he goes through the whole Gospels, he uses that title.
Son of Man.
The Son of Man. So he can identify himself with mankind. So he goes through, he says, now, he says, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what?
Well
pleased. and I think, did we talk about that, where from he got 12 years old, and then all of a sudden he's what?
30
years old. And then we, you know what, I just saw this, we were just talking about this last week, that about the movie, Risen, about how, you know, it was a little off or whatever, They just put out another movie about
the young Messiah.
I said, look at that. We were just talking about that, where they want to define now what he was doing.
Right there.
Ooh, you mean they're going to fill in those?
They're going to fill it in for us.
How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet he's mischievous?
You know what?
I
saw him. He had a little, gave life to a little bird, and his mother was saying, "You have to conceal your." I can't remember. So I was like, I said, I'm
one of those myths out of
check
age.
That out. But anyway, all right, let's do a couple of verses and we're gonna stop. John chapter. But you notice, you know, we're not gonna go too into this, but when he comes up out of the water, then he's going to the next checkpoint, where now they know who he is. Guess who else knows?
The ones that were not baptized.
Look at the verse. Look at chapter 4. Not only do they know.
Oh.
Guess who else knows?
The enemy knows. The usurper.
And he says, you're the beloved son? You know what?
I got a kingdom there.
And he's.
Oh, for you.
But look at this. He says, look at the verse. He says, then was Jesus led up of the capital S.
Spirit.
You know what? He says, you go to him. And he goes into the wilderness. It's kind of like, don't go out there. The adversary's out there. And he says, well, that's exactly where I want to go.
Yeah.
And he goes out there and he's looking for him. You know what? That's
and it's like checkmate.
It's my move, right. It's my move. He goes out there and he says, here I am. You been waiting for me? Here I am. Bring it. And he brings it. He said, if you are him, if you are him, and he gives him some of the same things that happened to the other son. Not that son. That son. But the other son too. That's the other two sons fail. So, but they, you know what? When he brings them through the wilderness and tries to get them to be obedient, guess what they do? They fall.
Fall man.
10 times. He said, I tried you these 10 times, and you just don't get it. Now, here's the son. All the way, he's still with the Father, isn't he? He's still with him. Okay, John chapter 4, and we're going to stop. Matter of fact, chapter 3. Verse 22. It says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. You know what they didn't realize? He said, John says, hey, I'm just the forerunner. I'm not him. So they come to him and says, hey, the guy that was with you, he's baptizing him over there, and everybody's over there. Watch this. Do what I just said. The guy that was with you, he's baptizing over there, and everybody's coming over there. He says, oh, okay, we're going to see about that. You know what he says? He says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And he says, you heard me. I'm not him. Chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, here's what I want. Though Jesus himself, what? Baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, the reason I went there is because people say baptism is so important. Jesus was baptized. He never baptized. He never baptized with water. Why not?
He had something better.
He had something better.
Or worse.
So, we put that emphasis on there. That's why when Paul can says, you know what? John can say, there's something better. And Jesus can say, there's something better. And then Paul can say, even then, there's something better. The Holy Spirit baptized you. And here, John's the baptizer. With the Holy Spirit in the water, Jesus is the baptizer. In our day, the Holy Spirit is the baptizer. God the Father gives that one. The Son gives that one. And the Holy Spirit gives ours. But it's different identifications. So when Paul says, we did all that to say, why are we baptized for the dead? We'll find out next week.
These messages. That was a good one.